We're going to begin this lesson with a story, and this is going to be called the story of Job. Job is just your average everyday guy, until one day he was approached by some DEA agents, and they were requesting that he should make known to a certain drug syndicate that was very powerful in the country that they should cease and desist all operations and give up peacefully so that there'd be no bloodshed. Now, Joe was not a fan of this idea because Joe actually had family members who were involved with this syndicate. He had one member that had been involved in an overdose due to the drugs produced by this group, and also he had another of his family members that had been severely injured due to a conflict with this same group. So Joe did not wish to comply with the DEA's request. Joe thought it's a better idea to hop on a bus and take off and try to just evade them and not take care of the things that they asked him to do. What Joe was not aware of is that while he was being requested to do this little task for the DEA, they had implanted a GPS tracker on his cell phone. So Joe hops on this bus. He's got a pair of glasses and a fake mustache, trying to look inconspicuous, but I'm sure that he was anything but that. And then somewhere down the road during the trip, the DEA manages to put up a roadblock and stops the bus. The people on the bus are all freaking out because they're wondering why there's all these police cars surrounding them, why there's agents with guns and assault rifles staring down at them. And Joe realizes something. He's like, well, this is all because of me. I have created this chaos and havoc for all these people who didn't expect it and didn't deserve it. So Joe finally agrees to give himself up. Of course, in the process, he was giving himself up, and he was in contempt of the law. So he was incarcerated for 3 days while he thought about the situation. And at the end of that 3 days, he decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead and comply with their wishes, and I'll go talk to these people with the drug syndicate. But he still was not pleased with that. So if this story seems to be familiar to you, sounds like something that you may have heard in the Bible, that's because it is. It's not really the story of Job. This is actually the story of Jonah. We're going to be talking tonight about lessons of Jonah. What kind of lessons can we learn from Jonah? And what things that he might have been able to do differently if he had thought about it more carefully? So first of all, let's talk about who is Jonah. So we know that Jonah is the son of Amittai, which it states in the book of Jonah, and he's regarded as one of the minor prophets. He also lived during the reign of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, in the 8th century BC. And this is mentioned in 2 Kings 14:25 for verification. So that's the background we have on Jonah, the person. Now let's take a quick look at some things from the story of Jonah. We're going to read just a little bit from Jonah. Okay, starting in verse 1. Of chapter 1. Now the word came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. God gives Jonah a task to do, but Jonah is unwilling to obey the task. We don't know for sure. We can possibly infer that Jonah did not think that the people of Nineveh, which is the people that God wanted him to go and prophesy to deserved to be forgiven for their misdeeds and their evil. We don't know that for sure, but one might come to that conclusion. However, Jonah definitely was unwilling to do anything about it. So his great option was to flee. So God speaks to Jonah. Jonah flees in the first three verses. And then Jonah gets on a ship later on in verses 4 through 9. A great storm comes upon the ship, and the boat crew is in a panic because they don't know what's going on. Because apparently the weather was fine when they left, but then all of a sudden it's going crazy. And the captain even goes down to Jonah and says, "Awake, O sleeper." And because he couldn't understand probably why Jonah was sleeping while the boat is in the midst of a terrible storm. And also the crew cast lots to figure out exactly what was going on, and the lot fell on Jonah, which meant that Jonah was the cause of the storm. So Jonah luckily realizes later on in the chapter in verses 10 through 16, which we're going to read right now. Starting in verse 10. "Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'What is this that you have done?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may be quiet for us?' For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, 'Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. They called out to the Lord, 'O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and then the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows." So there's a couple of things here that I think are interesting. One, how is Jonah able to sleep through this terrible storm? It seems a little improbable that he might do that. And two, as soon as Jonah is hurled into the sea ceased from its raging. There's another story in the Bible that I think is a parallel to this. We're going to go look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. I think you know where I'm going here too. This is starting in verse 23, Jesus calms a storm. "And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?' Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. And the men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him?'" So we see there are a couple of parallels here. Number one, Jesus and Jonah are both on boats. Number two, great storms ensue while they are on the boats and they're both sleeping. Of course, that's pretty much where the parallels end, because Jesus, because he's God, he was able to cause the storm to stop with just a word. And Jonah, I don't know if Jonah was, he had an attack of conscience and realized these people are going to go down in this ship because of me if I don't do something, or possibly if the Lord guided him to do what he had to do. But whatever the case, Jonah decided to do the right thing and had the men of the boat throw him into the water. And luckily for them, they apparently worshiped God from that point. At least we don't know what happened further, but they did acknowledge God because they could not possibly not see the miracle that had been done for them. So there's a couple other things we want to look at later on that are parallels between Jonah and Jesus. But so at this point, Jonah's in the water. The storm is over, but more things are happening. While Jonah's in the water, a great fish swallows Jonah. Popular folklore, possibly in the world, often interprets this to be a whale. We don't know if it's a whale. We don't know if it's a megalodon. We don't know if it's a whale shark. Could have been any of these things. But if God wanted it to happen, then there was no reason that it shouldn't happen. So we know that a great fish swallows Jonah. Jonah's in the belly of the fish and prays to God for salvation. So this is a interesting prayer that Jonah takes on while he's in the belly of the fish, which I don't know if anybody tried to imagine. Could you imagine being inside of a fish for 3 days? I don't know how unpleasant that would really be, but it couldn't be the best thing in the world. And luckily, Jonah had the presence of mind to be able to pray, because he knew that the only person that was going to be able to save him from this was the Lord. So he did pray to his credit. And then Jonah prayed to the Lord. So this is from chapter 2 of Jonah. Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, "I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and billows passed over me." And then I'm skipped down to 9. "But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord." And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on dry land. So a lot of these lines from this prayer can be found in different Psalms and in Lamentations, even in Jeremiah. So Jonah was in great distress, and the only way that he could get out of the situation he was in, which ironically he put himself in, was to call upon the Lord. And he did, and the Lord answered him, even though he was completely disobedient. The Lord spoke to him and told him to go to Nineveh. And I don't think the Lord just suggested, you know, maybe it's a good idea for you to go to Nineveh. I'm sure it was a direct command. And Jonah just, he disobeyed it. And why? Because he thought he knew better, unfortunately. Which is a lot of the times what we might be guilty of. I know sometimes I take my own understanding before God's, which is a number one mistake. No one should ever lean upon their own understanding, which it says in Proverbs chapter 3. So Psalm 3:4, this is one of the psalms that Jonah's prayer is based on. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. And then in Psalm 118, verse 5, "Out of my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free." So the Lord answers the prayers of those that are righteous. And even though Jonah had committed disobedience, the Lord still had a reason for selecting him for this task, just as he had a reason for wanting to give the people of Nineveh a second chance to repent from their evil. So Jonah gets out of the belly of the fish. He realizes, okay, I'm not going to get out of this until I do what the Lord asks me to do. Finally goes to Nineveh. Jonah warns the people of Nineveh that disaster is coming. And in chapter 3 of Jonah, he says, starting in verse 2, chapter 3 of Jonah, verse 2, starting verse 4. "So Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, 'By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish.'" And I guess he was right, because when God saw what they did in verse 10, how they turned away from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. So, everything's good, right? Nineveh turns from their evil ways. God relents from the coming judgment upon Nineveh. That should be the end of the story, but it's not, because there's still more to go. Jonah is still unhappy. You would think that 3 days inside of a smelly fish would have turned his heart and made him a little more humble and a little more compassionate for other people, but it didn't. He is still exceedingly displeased. From Jonah chapter 4, starting in verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? I don't know about you, but it seems like this is a little bit of an overreaction on Job's part. He wants to die just because the Lord chose to forgive the people of Nineveh and relent from wiping them off the face of the planet. And you would think that that Jonah, being the prophet, he would consider this a success, but he appears to see it as a failure. And he thought that the people of Nineveh did not deserve mercy. And so he was exceedingly displeased, exceedingly angry about this. So what's he do next? He goes out to the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself and sat there. And God appointed a plant, in verse 6, it says, of Jonah chapter 4. God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah so that it might be a shade over his head to save him from discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. He was not exceedingly glad that God saved thousands of people from annihilation, but he was happy that he had a plant to keep his head cool in the heat. So maybe he has a little bit of issue with priorities there, but nevertheless, God was still taking care of him even throughout all of his disobedience, even throughout all of his complaining and his griping and moaning about the situation, which I don't know why he should be so upset because Nineveh was spared, unless there was a personal reason on his part, but we don't really have the answers to that because it doesn't say it in the Bible. But the plant did not last very long. Starting in verse 7, but when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. Okay, angry enough to die over a plant. That is a complete overreaction again. And Jonah appears to be a little bit of a crybaby, but I'm not going to call him a crybaby unless I look at myself and call myself a crybaby, because I can think of plenty of instances for myself where I've been angry about things that were unimportant. A Friday afternoon when I'm working on equipment and at 4 o'clock everything blows up and breaks down. So I've got to go rush around to get through with things so I can get off. And maybe I planned on getting off at 5 o'clock, but yeah, I ended up getting up at 5:45 or 6. You know, it's an extra hour, but I find myself complaining about that and just thinking, why does this always have to happen to me? You know, the old woe is me philosophy. So it's not just a Jonah problem. I think it's a us problem, because all of us have moments where we aren't thankful and we aren't humble. We complain about things, or I'm not going to say we, I'll say I complain about things that I shouldn't complain about. And sometimes later on when I have a moment to step back and think about it for just a second, I realize that this is really not worth complaining about. this is a temporary situation and I'm going to be able to be resolved of it. So a lot of times I have to ask for forgiveness from God. I have to ask for the ability to be thankful for the things that go well in my life and to be humbled by the things that don't go well. And that's a lesson I'm continuing to try to have to learn each and every day. So I hope you'll pray for me that I can continue to do that. So again, in verse 10 of chapter 4 of Jonah, verse 10, and the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow. For the Lord did both of those things, which came into being in a night and perished in night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" So I think God was giving Jonah some words of wisdom and giving him just a little bit of a reality check. Jonah was more concerned about a plant that lasted maybe, 12 to 20 hours, and then it was gone. And God provided him the plant, just as God had provided him life and food to sustain him, and he provided the same thing to everyone on this earth, the good and the evil. So I think he was trying to give him some perspective that don't be angry about a plant, but be more concerned about people's salvation. A plant is not more important than the souls of 120,000 people. So I don't know, we don't know anything about Jonah from this point on. Hopefully he gained a little more perspective, some more humility, and a little more attitude of forgiveness. We don't know for sure, but I'm hopeful that he did, because God did find him to be a useful servant for this task. So God obviously found that he was necessary, even though he didn't do it probably in the fashion that he should have. There are many examples of people in the Bible, David, Moses, that they had their problems. They had issues listening to God's word and doing them as he asked. But God always knows the hearts of each and every one of us. He knows that there are things that we can be useful for in his kingdom. So God maybe will appoint us for a particular task. He's not going to speak directly to us as he did to Jonah, but there are things that we have in our lives that we can do to serve our God. And let's try to be humble and try to be appreciative of the ability to be able to do that and not complain because maybe it doesn't fit in with our schedule, or maybe it doesn't, maybe it's something that we don't feel is in our wheelhouse of comfort. Let's try to think of things like that when we see a situation that we could be of use to the Lord and his kingdom. So what kind of lessons can we learn from the story of Jonah? Don't think our understanding is better than God's understanding, first of all, which is the problem that Jonah had and the problem that I've had at times in my life. I'm going to look at Isaiah. Isaiah 55, starting in verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's trying to tell us that just because we think something is okay, just because we think something is proper and it's true and correct, that doesn't mean that it is. It's something from our flawed perspective, because we're flawed people. We're sinful people. So we don't always have the thinking that is proper and true. So God wants to give us a reminder there from the prophet Isaiah. Number two, we can't hide from God. He knows and sees everything. Job 28, verse 24. "For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens." Jonah thought he could hide from God. He thought he could run away from his difficulties. He thought he could run away from a situation he didn't think was proper, but he couldn't. God knew where he was, and God was there to find him and to help him get back on the path that he was supposed to be on. Did he appreciate that? I'm not sure, because it doesn't look like it based on his actions afterward. But nevertheless, God has, he had a plan for Job, just like he has a plan for all of us, and we should realize that. Another good verse is in from Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Again, because our understanding is not God's understanding. We don't always know the big picture. So we can trust in God to do what's right for us and right for others. And not so much in our own understanding. And lastly, accept the things God wants from us and seek to do them. He has everyone's best interest in mind. Second Peter, verses 3 through 9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." So, when we think that we've been dealt a hand that is unfair, when we think that we're in a situation that we shouldn't be in, and we want to complain about it and lament to the Lord, you know, why have you put me in this situation? Let's stop and think a minute, because the Lord always has our best interest at heart. And he wishes all of us to come to repentance. He wishes all of us to be children, and he wishes all of us to do the things that we need to do to be successful in life. And that's following his word. And I did say there was another thing that we wanted to talk about regarding the story of Job. So, Jesus mentions Job twice in the New Testament. And I'm going to talk about the first one here, from Matthew 12. Matthew 12, let me starting in verse 38. "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.' But he answered them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here.'" So Jesus also went on to make the same statement about the sign of Jonah later on in Matthew. But there is an interesting parallel between Jesus in the 3 days after his death and before his resurrection, and Jonah being in the belly of the fish. Now, we don't want to try to compare Jesus and Jonah, because that's completely unfair. Because Jesus was God. Jesus overcame a death through his Father. And Jesus shed blood on the cross for the sins of all. But this story was enough for Jesus to point out that it was important, something for us to consider. So, let's think about Jonah, and let's think about his example. He was not perfect. In fact, he was a very flawed prophet. He complained. He wanted to have his own way. He was disobedient, and yet God still found a purpose for him. Just like God can find a purpose for all of us, you still do the same silly things that he knows our flaws. He knows that we have moments when we're disobedient, and we have moments where we are questioning what he has planned for us. But I pray that we can go through our lives, and through prayer and reading the scriptures, that we can learn what God's purpose is for each one of us, and help find the easy path, because the difficult path is going against God's plan. And if you want to take that path, that's your own obligation to do so. But if you want to make your life easier, it's a lot easier to do what the Lord wills of us. And I have a feeling that it will be considerably more of an easy path for you each and every day. So that's the lesson. I thank you for your patience. I hope this was encouraging and beneficial to you all. And I'd like to say, if anyone here is not a Christian, and you would like to be baptized for repentance of your sins and go on to lead a faithful life there and learn more about what God's plan is for you, we are prepared to help you in that endeavor at this time. There's water available, and we can baptize you here, and you can go on to do what you can do to learn the scriptures and to become a faithful servant for God. And if any of you has been a servant for God, and maybe like Jonah, you've been disobedient and just decided to go your own way and strayed from the path that you should have been on, we're prepared to help you if you want to do that. If there's something you want to make known to the group publicly, we're prepared to pray for you, or individually, if you would like to pray for yourself and ask for God's forgiveness in any situation, we'll continue to consider that as well. Whatever the need that you might have, we pray that you will make it known as we prepare to stand and sing.